I'd like to call the order this regularly scheduled meeting, the Board of Commissioners and Meridian Development Corporation, it's 4 o'clock on June 26, 2019. And before we do roll calls, just, I think everybody recognized we have a new face at the table, but Kit Fitzgerald has taken our open spot on our board, and some of us were around when Kit was here the first time around. I don't know, what was that, 3 years ago, years ago that you left? Stepped off the board and now she's back.
Boomeranger.
Thank you, Tom.
But welcome, Kit. We're glad to have you back.
Yes, we are.
Roll call. Let's see here, Commissioner Bassalone here. Commissioner, no, she's not here. Commissioner McCarville here. Commissioner Bevan
here.
Commissioner Byrne
here.
Commissioner Fitzgerald
here.
Commissioner Council Lakey
here.
Administrator Squires
here.
It's a motion by Commissioner Bassalone and a second by Commissioner Byrne. Isn't that you?
Is that right?
It's got a little bit of cold.
Is there any discussion? If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That sounded unanimous to me. The consent agenda, which includes the minutes of the June 29th or June 12th. For the record, Commissioner DeVere just joined us, and she made a motion to approve the consent agenda, and Commissioner Bassalone gave the second. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Bassalone?
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere?
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville?
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan?
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd?
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald?
Aye.
And Chairman is an aye as well. All right, on to the legislative update.
What used to be permanent rules, now temporary rules that would come back before the legislature this upcoming session. By way of background, over the course of the last couple of months, there were a number of rules that were eliminated or, I guess, proposed to not be reissued. None of the rules that impact urban renewal districts or agencies or revenue allocation areas were included in that list of so that's the good news. So now that all of the rules pertaining to the districts and how they operate are back up for consideration, the comments reflect at least Meridian NDC's support for all of the rules within the tax commission specifically. So their process will now be going forward. They'll finalize all of the comments and the proposed temporary rules. They'll have that done late October, early November, and when the legislature our rules that are listed there will be back up for consideration by the legislature. So this does a couple things. It gets Meridian, it gets NDC on record with the agencies, the governor's office, the commission, the tax commission, that you know we are supporting the proposed and temporary rules, and it will also be actively supporting their legislative adoption as well. So with that, if you have any questions on the letter specifically, or if there's changes that anyone would like to make, or we have to do that. The comments on these are not due till I believe July 10th or 11th, so there's a little bit of time to review the rules and make any changes that you'd like to make. But as it stands now, we've addressed all of the specific rules that relate to urban districts and revenue allocation areas and agencies within the comments.
Mr. Chairman.
Council Leahy.
Thank you. Scott, was there anybody that was poking at the rules at all?
Mr. Chairman, so there's been a few on the outside. No one that I think could actually have any impact internally within the agencies or that I've talked to. But through IACI, for example, they've established a couple of subcommittees. One of the subcommittees specifically looks at property tax rules. And some of the members, one or two of the members of that subcommittee that represent other industries, suggested maybe eliminating some of these rules or taking a look at them and questioning them. But the subcommittee ultimately didn't go that direction as well. So if the IACI subcommittee is not really working for or in conjunction with the governor's office on this, but in concert with to try to have a sort of unified front on all the other rules as well.
Okay. Thanks.
I was going to ask, are the all of the comments like available online or anything that people can read if they so choose? Not that we'd want to, but.
I don't actually know if they publish those online. That's a good question. I'll find the answer because it will be interesting. I know I'm sure we can request them, but I'll find out if they're available for the public to review as well because it would be interesting to see what the public votes are saying.
Why on earth would they let the public say anything?
Well, I'm not sure it's so much maybe it's the effort that it would take to publish them on the agency's behalf as far as getting the information to a point where it could go out to the public. As you can imagine, the tax commission has quite a pretty hefty list of rules that deal with a lot of other stuff, so I'm not sure what they're going to do.
Do we need a formal motion to approve the letter? Is that
probably would be good, Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay, well, I guess unless there's any further questions, I'd ask for a motion to approve the letter and for the chairman to sign it.
Mr. Chair,
Commissioner
Beard. I move that we approve the letter to the governor's office commenting on the legislative rules process and have the chair sign.
I'll second that. So a motion by Commissioner DeBeard and a second by Commissioner McCarville. Is there any discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vassalon.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeer.
Aye.
Commissioner McCarville.
Aye.
Commissioner Bevan.
Aye.
Commissioner Byrd.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Aye.
And I am aye as well. All right.
So I guess one final thing, whenever the letter is final, if I can get a copy, because I'll have a few folks.
You want to sign it right now?
As well, outside of the agency. And then I'll use it over the course of the couple of months as I'm just talking to legislators I'll be visiting with on other issues that will care about this stuff and kind of use this as the springboard into what will happen during the session with all the renewals and throughout the issue.
Okay.
I'll send you.
Yeah,
we're going to sign today.
Sign right after the meeting and then I'll be glad to do it.
Okay, sounds good. Okay, thank you.
Thank you,
Scott. Property Committee recommendation regarding the support of fixed route transit expansion project. Steve's name is on here, but
so by default, it's wires.
Yeah.
I understand how this works. No, that totally okay. So we have Stephen Hunt here from Valley Regional Transit. In your packets is a copy of what he submitted to the property committee for consideration last week. He has a couple of requests for our board, one of which needs to be acted upon today. The other is for consideration at during our budgeting process in the next 30 to 45 days. The committee is recommending approval of VRT's request of us, but I asked Steve if he would be willing to give just a brief presentation, bring everybody up to speed, and allow you all to answer some questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairman, members of the commission. Glad to be here. So we're excited to be talking with the city of Meridian and stakeholders about expanding transit service across the valley. Just in terms of context, we have been having conversations with the city of Boise basically what the proposal is would be to extend service between 10 Mile Crossing, the job center there, through downtown Meridian, and then extending to the east to towards the village, maybe connecting with Sensi or Blue Cross Vital, depending on the path there. But the point is, how can we get better transit service through the downtown part of Meridian, supporting the developments in the downtown that are planned and under construction, as well as the other bookends of the city on the east and the west. This would be the only service on the north side of the freeway. We have service right now that runs on Oberlin from 10 Mile all the way to the city line, or city borders, continues on to the Town Square Mall. This connection would serve the north side of the freeway. We have also been talking to Boise about extending service from Town Square Mall towards the village, where this would terminate on the east end of town, so that would allow people to continue farther west. But what's important with this particular proposal for MDC is we need to build some capital infrastructure to support the transit service. We are talking about getting electric vehicles because we need to expand our fleet, but we'll also be looking for stations in downtown, shelters, benches, real-time information, the kinds of things that we've been able to put in Boise and other places to help make it easier for people to catch the bus. So there were two things specifically that we were asking of MDC. One is a letter of support to the Meridian City Council, which has put in their draft budget $419,000 towards the purchase of capital in their FY20 budget, and then that would facilitate service to begin in the following year, about $285,000 of ongoing service contributions. And so what we have been asked as a city to do is go out to the public as well as to the private sector to see what kind of interest there is in this and see if they can find any great partners. And so we've been out to the public, we've collected I think about between general public and employees within that work in Meridian, about 400 comments. And they've been supportive of the idea of expanding transit service. And we have been working through the property and parking committee. And so that's what brought us here today, to see if there was support from MDC to write a letter to the Meridian City Council in support of their efforts to expand transit service, as well as financial contribution of up to $65,000 for the stop and station in downtown Meridian. We're looking at two that could facilitate connections to apartments and just the other developments here in downtown. And that's what we have for you.
So, Mr. Chairman and members of the board, today all we're asking for approval for is the letter of support. We will have the conversation regarding the funding of the shelters and the signage during our budget hearing.
Ashley, without Steve here, could you quickly just kind of summarize what went on at the property committee meeting for this discussion, if there were pros and cons or
basically, everybody felt like it was a great idea to be supportive of such a line. That is something that we have wanted to see within Meridian, and that's been expressed. And given with the density that's increasing in downtown, and hopefully in the near future with other projects, having those transit services are going to be really important to our community.
Including the funding?
We're not talking about funding today, and we didn't make a recommendation on the funding for the budget either. It's just the recommendation of whether or not we ask the city of Meridian to support the line item for the funding, their funding. We'll talk about our funding in the budget process.
And one other thing that Steve already talked about that we can bring up in the meeting is the connectivity with other routes.
Oh, yes.
And there is at 10 Mile, there's two routes that go by there already.
Yes.
So there could be some linking into the rest of the system from there. And then also he brought up the discussion that they've been having about expanding from the Town Square Mall to the village. So you'd have connection in that direction. But we'll
farthest that service from Boise comes is 5 miles, and so we would need to extend that service down, probably down Fairview, and have it come all the way to the village area when it's kind of far through. Kind of using, we would prefer to stay on public road, public roadways, but make that kind of connection.
Yeah. Another mile and a half, somewhere like that.
Well, several miles. So it ends, I mean, basically the service on Fairview currently ends at Town Square Mall. So you'd be coming, that's Milwaukee, so several miles then from there on to.
I meant 5 miles to the village.
Oh.
It's only about a mile or
two.
Right. But the service that goes to 5 mile isn't. We would be looking at kind of restructuring some of the way that works, and we've been on from different efforts. We've been getting requests from the public who currently ride transit service to expand service farther to the west. We haven't really done that for a number of years, and as you know, the valley has developed farther to the west than. Allow us to do that, and would give us an impetus to push it farther from Boise to Meridian, make the connection with Meridian.
Further questions, Stephen, from the board? No, thank you. Thank you for your time coming down here, and I guess we'd be looking for a motion to write the letter of support to be submitted to the City Council.
Keith would be proud.
So a motion by Commissioner Bedlin and a second by Commissioner Fitzgerald. Is there any discussion? Do you need to do a roll call vote, or can we just do a voice vote?
Voice vote's okay. We're not spending money.
Yeah. Okay. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
That sounded unanimous to me. You have hold on, sorry. And one abstention, so that'd be two. Two?
I'll work with you on talking points. Thank you.
To the renewal of the $100,000 line of credit. Ashley, Council Wakeman, you guys are on this one.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, this is our annual renewal of the $100,000 line of credit that we have from Washington Trust. This is something that we have just in the instance that we should need it, given the, we get two revenue checks a year, one at the end of January, one at the end of July, and if we ever should find ourselves lagging in revenue, this would be able to help us accomplish our goals project-wise if we should need to tap into it. Thus far, we have not had to, but it's just a nice safety net for us to have in the event that we need it. So. Council Leahy has the documents. He has reviewed them. As far as I know, from what he has stated, that they look good. But I'll let you speak for yourself if you'd like.
Sure. They're standard documents. They talk about some things in there about the powers of the chairman as far as committing assets and things. But when I talk to Washington Trust, they say those aren't applicable in this case. This is an unsecured line of credit, and so we're not pledging any of our revenue or any of our assets. It's just they know we're good for it, essentially. And then they also list our office and talk about that's where our records are located. Well, technically it's a P.O. box. Mm-hmm. And so they understood that and know where to go to find records. They need anything from Ashley. So with those explanations,
Mr. Chairman and Commissioners, this is Resolution 19-023, Resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Meridian, Idaho, approving the annual line of credit agreement between the Meridian Development authorizing the execution of the agreement by the chairman or vice chairman and secretary, authorizing technical changes to the agreement, authorizing the administrator to take all necessary action required to implement the agreement, and providing an effective date.
Thank you. We have a motion. Chair, Mr. Vassallon, I move that we approve resolution number 19-023 as written in the record by council.
Second.
A motion by Commissioner Vassallon and second by Commissioner Harbaugh. Is there any discussion? If not, we will do a roll call vote. Commissioner Vassallon.
Aye.
Commissioner DeVere.
Aye.
Herbal.
Aye.
Mr. Bevan.
Aye.
Mr. Byrne.
Aye.
Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Aye.
And I'm an aye as well.
Mr. Chair.
Commissioner.
Actually, can we get an update on what the outstanding balance is owed to the bank? I want to know what the mountain of debt MDC has.
Actually, I can give that to you right now.
So as of today's check that we're going to sign, we have $314,000 by the end of this, by the end of December of 2020, we'll have $150,000. December of 2020. So it'll be paid off in 2022, March 2022.
And we sunset in 2025.
Welcome. I can send you that spreadsheet too if you'd like.
Is it in here?
No, it's always attached to our check that we do our loan payment.
I was blinking.
Yeah.
It's still on my compass program.
Yeah.
Mountain of debt. Terrible.
All right, so we got everything we needed on that.
We will dig out.
Item 8, something we should all be really excited about.
Break down the cage.
Dave got it earful earlier.
I got in trouble for not being excited enough when she emailed up.
You guys are killing me.
Ashley, or Todd, or whoever wants
to. Oh, I
want to
let Ashley talk.
Yeah,
well, that time has finally come. After a year and a half, we have a lease, folks. Woohoo! So in your packet is an aerial that shows the area of the lease. So as I explained in the email with the board packets, it's not exactly as we envisioned, but I think we're ultimately going to be able to get there. So to be able to give you an update, ProBuild, America's First Choice now, or whatever they are called, I have been in conversation with Mike Cruz this week. He's unfortunately in Germany, so our communications have been sporadic. My understanding from ProBuild is that they did put a lease termination into Union Pacific about 6 months ago. Now, as we understand and know, the real estate division changed over in November and December. So we don't know if that lease termination agreement was lost. So we're still trying to figure that out. But they have no interest in keeping Main and Broadway, that corner. In regards to whoever the potential lessee may be on 3rd and Broadway, I was not able to get any information as to who this may be or what that use may be. But I do think we'll ultimately be able to get what ProBuild has control over, because they're not interested in retaining that. In the meantime, we have a lease in front of us for that center portion, including buildings number 1 and 2, as shown on the aerial. My goal today is to get an approval. This lease basically gives us access to the property only at this exact moment. There is a clause in the lease that once the environmental component and study is completed by UP, because they had folks out on the ground about a month, 6 weeks ago, to look at the buildings and to give us the terms of what we would need to be able to take those buildings down, we'll be able to move forward with that and won't have to modify this lease. So that's built into this, is my understanding, and I'll let Todd either confirm or deny that. One thing that I will need to do in order to be able to move forward is to get some level of a survey, because this is not the entire parcel as we initially envisioned. So we're going to need some meets and bounds in order to understand what kind of parking layout we can get that meets city code. And right now, by eyeballing this, I don't have an understanding of what that might be. I think the good news is that this will allow us to easily replace the Compass and VRT parking that we need to do in order to move forward with the request for proposal on the opposite block. I'm excited. I'm really, really excited. This was the best birthday present ever, just to be really honest. Yes, and no one said anything over the weekend. It was like, you guys are killing me here. So Dave got an earful this morning. So this is kind of where we are. I know it's not exactly what we envisioned. I think we can work through that and potentially add to this, but I think this is a really great start. It gets us in the door, and it gets us control of the property, I think, which is super important right now. Todd, I will turn it over to you for the small fine print.
Before you do that, can I ask one question?
Sure.
On their the aerial that's in here.
Sure.
The third and Broadway side and along the railroad where it says pending temporary lease. That word temporary is kind of interesting. Did they expand on that any? Is it something that...
We all have temporary leases.
But they didn't call any of these other ones temporary. Oh. So I was wondering if it was something that they knew was just going to be for 12 months or something like that. And they didn't indicate that.
My understanding from Michael is everybody's under the 30-day clause like we are. Yes, Mr. Commissioner Bastelon.
Yeah, just two questions regarding that as well. The City of Meridian parking lease, is that a current lease that's in effect now?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay.
And then the current ProBuild lease, does that also include the tire company building? So is that carved out? Is the tire company building carved out?
That's what it's in, well, around it. So it's not included in anybody's lease.
Correct? That's correct. No one wants to touch it.
Yeah, and just for the record, my response was, wow, great.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm talking about leadership.
Oh, thank you. Us non-leaders.
They know who they are.
So how long before we'll know the determination on this building?
My understanding from Michael, who's our contact in the real estate division of UP, is that it's probably about 2 to 4 weeks out. Unfortunately, he doesn't have any control over their workload and timing, but he said so the goal is hopefully by the end of July. And by that time, hopefully we'll have clarity as to what is occurring on the ProBuild side as well, too. And timing might be good.
No, that's okay. The high points. The lease, I got a screaming rate, $500 a year for the property. So that's really good. It's a one-year lease with automatic renewal, unless either side says, please don't renew. And then essentially, you know, this is their lease, and it's, you know, we don't push back a lot or don't have a lot of freedom to push back. But it's, I didn't see anything overly unreasonable in there. We have to check with them before we really do anything on the property, whether it's, you know, pave it, knock the buildings over, all of those things. I have to have all permits and approvals in place and meet their requirements and conditions, so thus their environmental study on the building being complete. As Ashley mentioned, it's a 30-day. There's a 30-day either for cause with an opportunity to cure or just a 30-day with or without cause opportunity to cure for either side. And then when we vacate, we have to put the property in essentially in as good a condition as we found it. I don't think that means we have to rebuild the crummy, broken-down buildings. We just have to maybe take out some of our trees and some of our landscaping.
Take out some of our trees.
Well, whatever we do for landscaping, we'll just kind of have to figure that out.
I don't think there's any landscaping that will be happening.
Okay. So we may not have to do too much when we vacate. I think there's a lot of concrete and stuff out there now, so.
My understanding, just to give a little bit more context as to, we know that there are active developers who are actively trying to purchase the easement from UP and potentially buy the land outright from the underlying property owners. My understanding is that one of the developers who we're all aware of who has actively been pursuing that does have a funding partner. Again, and it's the same one that we've discussed. There's going to be a pretty formal agreement that's going to be put in place this week. They are pretty certain they're going to be able to move quickly on this. I think that's a win, even if that does happen, versus us doing this. So we'll see how things progress in the next 30 to 60 days. But in the meantime, I told them, I have to act like this. You're not going to be able to get this done, and we need this parking. Obviously, for the RFP to be able to fulfill our obligations to Compass and Valley Regional Transit, but also just we need additional parking for our downtown, and that's really important right now.
So, Mr. Chair, do they have anything to do with this pending temporary lease?
That's how the conversation started, was asking, are you all involved in any way? And the answer is no. So I have no idea who that is, and UP was not willing to share even the potential use.
This as materials piling?
No, at least from what I understand from Mike Cruz, they have no interest in maintaining any additional leases with UP, including either corner of Broadway and Main or Broadway and Third.
Yeah, it's just so suspect that you would have something along the Rel and on Third.
I agree.
It's like a materials pile to me, and we need to make it clear, should we hear anything that that's non-conforming.
So far, no one's owning up.
Should mention one other thing before I leave that. We are double checking the insurance requirements. They have some specific numbers in their lease, so we could check with iCrimp. It looks like they're in line, but if we need to modify our insurance, we'll come back to the board and talk to you about that. Okay, this is resolution 19-024, a resolution of the Board of Commissioners of the Urban Renewal Agency of Reading, Idaho, approving the lease with Pacific Railroad for a portion of the block south of Broadway. There's a typo there. Broadway Avenue between Main Street and East Third. Authorizing the chairman and vice chairman and secretary to sign the agreement. Authorizing any technical changes to the agreement. Authorizing the administrator to take any necessary action required to implement the agreement and provide an effective date. How those two typos got through the spell checker. We're going to have Commissioner Bevin play secretary today.
Okay. And the actually signed out, right?
Motion by Commissioner Beard and then second by Commissioner Bassalone. Any further discussion? If not, we'll do a roll call vote. Commissioner Bassalone.
Aye.
Commissioner DeBeard.
Aye.
saving it all.
Yeah.
That's right. Building up.
I wasn't.
Building up participants.
I just wanted someone to be like really excited with me. I was really lonely about that.
Property committee update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, towards the back of your packet are the committee meeting minutes. We've already talked about the presentation by Stephen for VRT. Regarding code enforcement, Richard Everett, who is the head of code enforcement, stated they are back to full staffing in the downtown area, which is great. I gave an update on just the potential facade improvement applications, nothing before us at this time, and what may be coming before us before fiscal year 20. At the time, I gave an update as to the UP, and so obviously that has changed. By the end of this week, I believe we should have the 9-mile floodplain analysis from FEMA for the economic study with two different scenarios. My goal with that, along with David Miles, who's the floodplain administrator for the city, is to have a joint meeting between our board and the city council in August to be able to talk about those findings and to make some decisions as to what those next steps are. There are some grants available on a federal level that could pay for up to 75% of some of the improvements. The city would have to take the lead, is my understanding from David, but we need to get a game plan as to how we're going to address this, look at the numbers, and figure out which scenario we want to aim for in terms of improvements. RFP update, Cameron was gracious enough to provide an update regarding the community center, the Centennial Park and the Compass VRT parking. We've held members with each individual council member to understand what their must-haves and shells shall be within the RFP, just to make sure that we're trying to address everything we can as proactively as possible. Council Lakey and I have been working with Compass and VRT on the next steps regarding the parking lot. We had to give them a right to offer opportunity. Compass board has already determined that they're not going to pursue an offer with us. Valley Regional Transit Board is meeting on July 8th, and it's our understanding they're not wanting to put an offer in as well, too, which will free us up to be able to move forward with the RFP in the later of July. Misspoke and put it in August here, but it is in July based on the time frame that Cameron sent this morning to us. And then Old Town Lofts, as I mentioned in the last meeting, it's going to be kind of quiet for a little while as they're working through getting their approvals with ACHG and the relocation of some utility easements, and a phase two environmental is needed on 703 North Main due to the former use as a gas station back in the 50s. Who knew? No. My understanding is they're still working with ACHG on the easement issue.
All right. No questions for anyone on that? We'll go to Smile Day.
Council Lakey and I met with Brighton Corporation and their representatives on Monday of this week, along with our accountant, to discuss the reimbursement process. They were struggling to be able to provide some of the information that we were asking for, and so we talked through a number of outstanding issues. I think we came to a great consensus that will satisfy not only what we need in order for a transparent process, but also helps them be able to provide the documentation that we need as well, too. So we didn't walk away with a firm date as to when we will see the additional materials, but it sounds like it would probably be within the next 30 days is my assumption.
Mr. Chairman, as you know, we haven't paid them any money yet. They have to submit the necessary documentation, and then we bring that back to the board for approval. And so, you know, the timeline's kind of on them. You know, mm-hmm. The sooner they want to get reimbursed, the sooner they kind of get everything in line. But one of the main challenges we had was the owner participation agreement ties the improvements to segments, to pieces, specifically identified pieces, and then the things they're going to do within that segment. And what we were looking for was to have the documentation tied to that segment. And it was kind of overflowing into different segments and wasn't really organized that way. And so it was hard to tell what they were getting requesting reimbursement for and tie it to a particular segment and then the attached list of improvements. So I think they're getting that, they've got that figured out or close to it, and we should be getting that, and then some of the documentation in regards to proof of taxes being paid. And then maybe coming back to this board for an amendment to the OPA if as they acquire other property out there that's within the district, that their other landowners have participated. So it's still in the district. Disagreement with them as they acquire other pieces of property out there. So it was a good meeting. I think they kind of understood what we needed, and we understood kind of how they're looking to present it. And so I think it should go more smoothly after this meeting.
Question on 10 Mile, the Meridian Press article had some pretty major factual
yes.
errors in it.
Yes.
And I know you've been.
That was my Friday night. Yeah. Was I read the article and about had a heart attack because they misquoted me on so many levels. In fact, and I only communicated with them through emails, so there was no way to misquote me. We were very clear that we had not submitted the reimbursement had been submitted for by Brighton, but we had not approved any reimbursement checks. There was a number of issues. That Natalie and I were working corrections on Friday evening. So,
have they given any word as to if and when they'll run the correction?
They corrected some of the story. A lot of times the reporter doesn't write the headlines, so I'm not quite sure where that disconnect came from. But you know, this is one of the reasons why, after being misquoted two previous times by the Meridian Press, I like to put everything in writing, and so we were able to easily turn around the emails and say, no, this is exactly what we said and how we said it, and so they were able to make those initial corrections anyway. But
who is the reporter?
Patty Bowen.
It was Patty. She's usually pretty darn accurate when she writes.
At least not with me. So that's my policy with her, is that I answer questions in writing. I thought the city interview portion was great. Yeah, the first thing that Brighton said on Monday morning or Monday afternoon when they walked in said, "Where's my check?" Red, I was out of check. Last page of your packet is the upcoming meetings. We have an MDBA general meeting this week. Mr. Chairman, I think we need to talk about the executive committee meeting, just knowing we have some absences next week. And we have a PR committee meeting on July 8th. And then, as I've noted in the last couple of packets, the Thursdays are the Playing in the Plaza in June and July, along with the Main Street Market on Saturdays.
Great venue, good music, beer and wine and stuff out in the parking lot, but not many people. So I think it's imperative that we promote it and try, you know, ourselves if we can participate in it and get friends and family to come down, because it was a nice event. Just, I don't know if people don't know about it. I see things, but it could be just that what shows up on my Facebook.
Sure.
I think there was the Pancake Feed for Dairy Days was going on last week at that time, too. I don't know if anybody went to that, but that probably some of the attention away.
I don't think the weather was malevolent.
It was cold. It was a little chilly, but not bad. It was a little windy, but maybe I'm just tougher than
here.
Most. Yeah. Yeah. Well, going on.
need to have kind of a handle on that, so when individual groups plan, they have that as kind of a guideline as to what they can do. And my second question is, do our businesses have posters to put up in their businesses? Because we rely on, you know, the media, the internet, but there are a lot of older people like me who don't really check the internet all the time, but when we go in and see a poster facing us about some activity, I don't know.
I'll answer that too.
Mr. Chair,
sure.
Maybe we should ask at our next meeting to have the Parks Department talk about it. And maybe we could also see how our PR person might be able to help promote it.
Good ideas. Council's report.
Nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Administrator's report?
Nothing further, thank you.
I don't have anything to add either.
Mr. Chair?
Mr.
Kind of mentioned it at the end of our meeting last time, but every year, any leftover funds for my State of the City that's from sponsorships, I reinvest it into the community after I have funded our youth scholarships and the June Kleiner Day at Kleiner Park. And this year I have $13,000 that I've talked to ACHD about a thermoplast that would be an image of a water feature running down 2nd Street between Broadway and Idaho. Come on. Setting the vision. And so I did talk to Bruce Wong, and he will be having his engineers work with the city on starting the conversation. My question to him was, would you guys support this? It's the lighter, quicker, cheaper approach that we had a couple of years ago when the consultant came, as the things that can start a vision and see how it would interact with the public. It would be nice to have there before we would pursue a second project in that area by creating the vision. And there's a couple of reasons which it would be positive. He is going to try and give me a cost as well, and so hopefully the $13,000 would cover it, but if not, I might be reporting back to MPC to see if there would be an interest in helping. So helping create the vision. And it's cheaper than working with the Corps of Engineers and the Bureau of Reclamation and any irrigation.
Sure. Seems like there's a little history to this conversation.
It's been a vision of hers for quite some time.
Is that the pictures you've shown me?
Yeah.
It's another one of Tammy's qualities, persistence.
Commissioner Vassalone, were you going to
add? We have public comment, and we have two members of the public here, so I'll defer to them first. And then I have a question for Todd about public comment.
Anybody have anything you want to add?
Thank you. I just wanted to address some of what Mr. Gosselin was saying about the events in downtown. One of the topics of the Meridian Downtown Business Association meeting this coming Friday, and it has been a recurring theme in our meetings, but I'll be reiterating to our businesses how to submit their events to the Downtown Business Association website, and we post any of our members' events on our calendar at meridiandowntown.org. So that will be one way to hopefully let people know about all of these events. And then, of course, you know, the poster idea is just something that we will always, you know, encourage our business. addition to their online advertising, but short of the event planners for those specific events, you know, making those actual assets, there isn't a lot of other means of getting that done, unless something that I thought of. So. But yes, I just wanted to share that in terms of, you know, what we're trying to do to get our businesses to promote and share their events.
Lindsay, I won't be able to be at the meeting on Friday, but will you have a few minutes after our meeting adjourns?
Unfortunately, I will. I have to leave right at 5:00.
Okay, well, I'll contact.
We'll connect.
Okay.
Any questions? You know, it's definitely something we've considered. We have been, you know, in an effort to show our value to recruit new members, we've limited our calendar postings to our members, just as a way of saying that we are, you know, offering this benefit to members, and your $150 a year buys you this opportunity to promote your events on our calendar. So, you know, it's not something where we've gone and like collected information on like all Meridian events from the city calendar.
No, this is here. I guess if maybe an added value to their membership dollars, not only being on the website for the Downtown Business Association, but maybe the association can then put it on our citywide calendar.
I see.
We pull different events off of that to put in our city newsletter. And if it's not on that calendar, we don't see it. Because that calendar is open to anyone to post their event. So maybe extra value to get it on there. And I do hope that someone from the city still is attending the Business Association.
There are various people, various weeks, and yes, we always feel a lot of support from city people. So yeah,
and even though we love you.
Thank you. And I do, yes, I understand the comment now, and that is a very good point. Right now, our events chairperson is currently trying to recruit some help so that she can have some administrative help to do things like that. So yes, that will definitely be an area that. And then also, just we have also recently rolled out a new iteration of the Downtown Lowdown that was started by April when she was here, and I know everyone really enjoyed that, and we just didn't have the bandwidth or manpower to continue executing on that after she left. We have had somebody volunteer to do that now. So not only are we sending that out, but we have recently launched a form on our website to encourage people to register to receive that so that we're reaching a much bigger audience. Added 200 people to that list just in the last week. So.
And I have an executive assistant starting on July 8th, and so maybe we will be able to help as well.
Absolutely, excellent. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, thanks. I know these meetings are painful, but we appreciate you sitting here just for this exact
Absolutely.
Thank you. Commissioner Bass wanted to do
that. Yeah, comment was based on your the question to Scott about public comment, Todd. What is the law regarding publishing a public comment? Because there are really two kinds of public comment. There's general comments at the end, but there are also specific comments to, you know, certain issues that we're voting on and so forth. What does the law say about publishing public comment, or does it?
It's sometimes specific. In our context, as far as Urban Renewal Agency, we only have one, maybe two public hearing, public comment items, that being on our annual plan and our annual budget. Other than that, it's at the discretion of the board whether you take additional public comment or not. You're not required to. You have a general public comment section at the end that allows people usually to optimally to comment on something that's not on the agenda, but you can't take any action on something that comes up in public comment until it's put on the agenda. If you
you want to take comment on a particular item during the meeting, the chair and the board has that ability to do that, but again, you're not required. And then other than that, it's contained in the minutes, and those are put on our website and accessible as public record. But we're not required to publish, so to speak, anything other than our notices.
One remaining member of the public, do you have anything you want to add?
Mr. Chair, and members of the board, it's a pleasure to be with you. Cameron, the community development department. Maybe a little bit of Captain Obvious, and then also just a vote of gratitude. Captain Obvious is, if you will, with